My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T. I'm Will Lucas, and this is Black Tech Green Money. Marcus Collins is the head of strategy at Wieden Kennedy, New York, and is also a clinical marketing professor at the Ross School of Business, University of Michigan. He's been recognized for his strategic and creative contributions with accolades such as the American Advertising Federation's Advertising Hall of Fame achievement, Ad Age's 40 Under 40 recipient, and Crain's Business 40 Under 40 recipient. Additionally, he's launched successful campaigns for major brands such as State Farm, Google, and the Made in America Music Festival. He also previously led iTunes and Nike Sport Music Initiatives at Apple and ran digital strategy for Beyoncé. His upcoming book, For the Culture, hits shelves on May 3rd. And we often throw the word culture around loosely. And as a marketer and brand strategist, Marcus defines for us what it actually means.
I think about culture through the lens of a gentleman by the name of Emile Durkheim, one of the founding fathers of sociology. He said culture is a system of symbols, values, and norms that demarcate who people are and what people like them do. And it's through these systems and norms that we translate the world, that we identify what's expected of us and what we should be anticipating from people like us.
And we've been having this conversation on this podcast about, you know, black people leading all global culture. And I would like to get your take on this. So if you think about music, if you think about sports, if you think about food, if you think about dance, you know, there's this conversation about black people leading in all of these verticals. I would like to get your take on digging deeper on that. What does that mean?
Yeah. So I think about when we say that, and I agree with that, is that when we talk about black people leading culture, what we mean is the black cultural production becomes the work that people use to express who they are, right? So think about this system that Emil Durkheim refers to. There's our identity, who we subscribe to be. There are the beliefs and ideologies that govern how we see the world, right? There are the truths that we hold the world, the stories that we tell ourselves about the world. And because we see the world a certain way, we don a certain apparel, we dress a certain way with certain artifacts, we behave a certain way, we talk a certain way. And because of who we are, how we see the world, and how we show up in the world, we consume certain product, i.e. the movies we watch, the music we listen to, the television shows that we watch, the literature we take in, the dance that we take in, the brands of branded products that we consume. And what happens is that Black culture, like the predominant Black culture, the production of predominant Black culture becomes this gravitational pull that people want to use to communicate who they are because of what it signals about the world. And truly, like, all marginalized communities really have this ability to make something out of nothing, right? And we see marginalized communities become sort of they become the victim of cultural appropriation for that very reason.
Yeah, let's dig in there. You know, what is a good way then to imbue, embed culture into a brand?
So I would argue that the best brands are contributors to culture. They lead culture by contributing to it. That is, they contribute to the beliefs, the artifacts, the behaviors, and the language that make up the group of people. My friend Eric Holgren says it this way: you can either lead culture by like driving it, you could sit in front seat by sort of riding along with it, or you could suck tailpipe by trying to copy it, right? Yeah, and brands that lead culture are more successful than those who follow. And those who kind of ride shotgun just sort of benefits from that, the afterglow of it. But it's really the brands that lead culture. They contribute to these characteristics of the system that are most successful. You think about brands like Nike. They've brought language to our normal vernacular. Like, just do it. That was a tagline that came from the agency I work for, Wine Kennedy, that people use to communicate who they are in the world and how they operate in the world. Brands like Patagonia, right? Because of what they believe, people use those brands to signal their identity. That is, these brand marks and their communications become extensions or receipts of people's identity. The brands become cultural products, not just a jacket, not just a phone, not just a car, not just glasses. They are ways by which I communicate who I am to the world. And those brands win often.
Yeah, I'd like you to talk more about that, because I think you have one conversation about how there's this bottom-up effect of how, you know, peoples, whether they be Black people, other minority or marginalized groups that you talked about, who create culture and then they get taken advantage of by companies, brands, and et cetera. And then what you just talked about with how brands might contribute to culture. And is there a conversation around where people don't want to be sold, but they want to take maybe the Dapper Dan approach and take what's already out and flip it? You know, but how, yeah. But if when it comes from a brand, in so many cases, it's, you know, you're trying to pacify me, or you're trying to take advantage of what we're already doing in the street, or et cetera. You get my point?
I get your point for sure. I think the idea for brands is that we contribute to culture by facilitating community. Hmm. That instead of sort of it being all about us, is that we identify what are the pain points, the points of friction, what are the ambitions and desires of the group of people that we're trying to activate, and how do we use our resources, our platforms, to help people realize things they're going after based on what we know of their beliefs, artifacts, behaviors, and language. So a Dapper Dan thing is you're taking someone, or you are co-creating cultural production with someone who's from the community, who knows the community and their cultural characteristics with far greater intimacy than the brand does, and you're giving your resources over to saying, hey, create, do what you do, and do it without sort of the without the policing that Dapper Dan once experienced back in the 80s, yeah. Right? Giving you freedom to do what you do with our marks. And that reworking of raw material from the brand helps create the cultural product that's representative of Dapper Dan. I mean, that's hip hop too, right? Before artists were being sued for using samples that they weren't giving access to, when labels start saying, hey, take the content and actually rework it, like they're being propelled to realize the cultural production that's representative of people like themselves. And brands who understand this, those brands actually do far better than those who don't.
Yeah, before we go much further, I do want to get your take on defining brand versus marks and logos and et cetera. And so this does get confused in our social conversations about, you know, you ask somebody, what is their brand? They show you their logo and they show you their letterhead and they show you these things. And I would like you to have, for folks who don't live this every day, talk about the differences and what confuses people about those things.
Man, you're hitting it right on the head. Brand has had a long history. Like, brand started off as a mark of ownership. In fact, if you translate the word brand into any Romantic or Germanic language, it translates into mark or marca or marque. It's a mark, right? And back in the day, you know, if you were raising cattle and you brought your cattle to the market, you would brand it with a branding iron as a way of saying, this cattle belongs to me. So it won't be confused with the Lucas's cattle, it's Collins' cattle. But over time, brand began to evolve from being this mark of ownership to being a mark of legality, that not only do I own this, but I have legal representation over this thing. Then about a century and a half later, it became, well, it's not enough for us to own it and have legal ramifications over it. We also want people to see it and trust us. So that logo, the mark, became a trust mark. But then over time, it wasn't enough people just to trust the brand. We wanted people to love the brand. Mm-hmm. So this mark of ownership became the signifier that conjured up thoughts and feelings. And that's really what brands are at its core. They're identifiable signifiers that conjure up thoughts and feelings, cognitions and affects on behalf of companies, institutions, products, people, and organizations. They're marks of ownership. And sometimes those marks are literal logos. Sometimes they're audio marks. Sometimes they're aesthetic. Like, you know, an Apple aesthetic, you know who that belongs to, right? These marks are identifiable, and they're also, they conjure up these thoughts and feelings. They make us feel a certain thing. They emote a certain thing. And therefore, we're more inclined to not only remember it, to differentiate it, feel something by it, and therefore pay a premium for it.
Yeah, you make me think about the importance of us investing in, I mean, when I say us, I mean Black-owned companies, minority-owned companies, women-owned companies, the importance of investing in a brand guide as early as possible when you start a business, because that brand guide defines how we use the mark, what colors we use it in, what it can be sat on. Can I put my logo on top of a picture that has a million colors on it? Or does it have to have a black or solid background behind it? Or this is the tone of voice we use, or this is the language we don't use, the type of imagery we use, or all these things. Can you go further there?
Yeah. So we want to make sure that the mark is distinctive and that the mark has all of the significance that we want it to have, right? So that it's consistent and it's distinctive. But it's not enough for it to look good aesthetically. We have to also think about, what does it mean?
Yeah.
When people see the brand mark, what's conjured up? And it's that ability to transcend sort of a physical mark that allows us to transcend the business in which we operate. For instance, if I told you that Nike was starting a hotel, you probably know what that thing looks like. I totally see the look of it is. I know what the experience is going to be. But if I told you that the Westin was going to make sneakers, you have no clue what that means.
I can't even
see that in my mind, because the Westin means hotels. Nike means every human body is an athlete. Wow. Nike transcends the category in which they reside, and they operate at an ideological driven vehicle. And therefore, the brand is more than just the mark. It's the meaning that's embedded in it. And that's not just brands like Nike. I mean, I used to work for Beyonce. Beyonce is the same way. Like, we've known that Beyonce believes in or stood for women's empowerment since the days of no, to Bills, to the left, to You Ain't Gonna Break My Soul. Like, Beyonce has stood for that thing. And so while we know Beyonce as an artist and in all the many ways that she is artistic, the meaning of Beyonce transcends those things. So as we pay mind to the mark of ownership, as you mentioned, make sure that our brand guidelines are strong, the language is strong, that it's consistent. We have to also make sure that it's the meaning that is going to conjure up the thoughts and feelings that we want people to walk away with, because it's the meaning that's going to inform how people behave in the long run.
What do you think about when people say or ask, what is your brand? Just in the general, not you specifically, but when somebody's asked about what is your brand, what do you think about?
The first thing I think about when people said, what is your brand? My translation is that is, what is your meaning? What do you mean? That is, what do you intend to mean? What do you stand for? Right? And we talk about brand. We use this vernacular all the time. We say the brand stands for this. What we really mean is the brand stands in for this. The brand mark stands in for these cognitive and affective associations that we have. So if someone says, what does your brand mean? Or what is your brand? They're really asking, what does your brand mean? What does it mean? And what are the products that you bring to market that are demonstrative of that meaning? And truly, I mean, like, if you go back to the original question you asked about, well, what is culture, right? Culture is this system. And that system that we use, that is a meaning-making system. It's through those cultural lenses that we translate the world and make meaning. That's why for some, a cow is leather, for others, it's a deity, and for some, it's dinner. Or for some, a rug is a place of worship. For others, it's decor. For some place, it's a souvenir, right? The meanings aren't fixed, but they are translated through our cultural lenses. So as brands, whether you are a Nike or you are an Apple or you are a startup, we're all bound by the same ramifications of brand. What does it mean? And when we bring our brands to market, our branded products to market, the products are bearing the meaning that the brand is trying to signify.
Yeah, that's really good. I want to get your analysis on this, because when I was coming up in my career, I started in radio. And back when I was doing radio, I was DJing parties and all these things. I would get asked often, hey, can you MC this event? Can you host this event? Can you come and speak, you know, on these different topics about entertainment and et cetera? And then as I got older, I was like, you know, I don't want to be the guy who hosts or does the panel or MCs this thing. I want to be known more for, you know, my business and technology interests. And so what I had to learn about to stop getting asked was I had to stop participating in things that were not aligned with what I wanted to be seen as. And so when I get asked, even though it might have been interesting, you got to say no, because the more I do that, the more it reinforces that that's who I am. But the more I associate, I always say it this way, like Oprah is Oprah because Tom Cruise jumped on her sofa. Oprah is a star. That's the way I say it. Like, Oprah is Oprah because she who she associated herself with and who she was seen next to. Yeah. And so can you provide an analysis to how people can focus their brand based on, I mean, that's my personal experience, but how can I focus my brand so that I can create opportunities for myself in the ways that I want to create opportunities?
Well, that's what strategy is meant for. The job of strategy is about saying no to things. Of all the main things that we could do, what are we going to say no to so that my intended meaning is aligned with what people actually translate? Because as you know, when you work in radio, you know this, it's not what you say, it's what people hear, right? So as I communicate the brand through explicit messages like ads or implicitly through the brand's behavior, what I intend to mean doesn't align with what people actually see, what they actually translate. And that truly requires A, understanding people, and then being able to say no to some things and yes to some things. I mean, even you saying, I'm going to stop doing the hosting and I'm going to stop, you know, DJing parties because I want to mean more than just that. That is, I want to transcend those activities to have a greater sort of mental association. I mean, Domino's Pizza dropped pizza off of their name for a reason. It's like, we're not in the pizza business. Like, that's just one thing we happen to do. Apple dropped off computers from their title because they're right in the computer business. We just happen to do those things. So for brands who want to operate at a higher level, it requires saying no to the things that may be quick from a money perspective and saying yes to the things that are going to be the long game. And that's an important part to note, the difference between marketing communications and brand, or sales and brand. Sales are short term, right? So doing that gig quickly, get the bag quickly. Great, awesome. Right? But in the long run, it doesn't help you. But if you say, I'm going to say no to this thing right now so I can do this in the long run, that's where brand comes in. The brand is a long-term mental association game, which requires small interactions over a period of time. So every time you said no to this and said yes to that, you were building the edifice brick by brick for the brand house that you wanted to be known as. And I mean, you're doing it, Doc.
Oh, yeah. No, this is so interesting to me because you brought up Apple, and it makes me think of my favorite quote from Steve Jobs, which I've said millions of times on this podcast. Is Steve had this quote that said, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect the dots looking backward. And what I get from that is you wonder why you can be doing, you know, a certain jobs, wondering why you're in certain relationships, wondering why you're doing certain things. And it may not make sense in the moment, but then month later, years later, decades later, you find yourself in the predicament where you got to use those skills or use those experiences to speak to what you're currently involved in. And had you not gone through those things, you wouldn't be able to maneuver through what you're going through presently. And so my question there is, how do you think about analyzing, maybe not reinventing who you are, but evolving who you are based on the experiences that you might have had? Because to my previous point, yes, I was a DJ, and yes, I hosted, and I didn't want to be seen as that guy, but now I'm using those skills to do Afrotech and Black Tech Green Money. So I think it's not like those things, it was the what they were pointed at were different. Apple didn't stop doing computers, Domino's didn't stop doing pizza, but it evolved and it helped inform who they would become.
That's right. So I think it's driven by this. The context always changes, but the conviction stays the same, right? I'm grounded and rooted in a way of seeing the world. And when I realize that the world around me changes, and therefore, while my behavior changes, the North Star doesn't. So for instance, I was an engineer. I studied engineering undergrad. And then I went to the music business, wrote love songs for a living before going into marketing communications, and then a career in academia. If you look at that, while I was doing it, people were like, this guy must be crazy. Yeah. He can't stay true to a thing. But when I look back at it, it becomes very, very clear that I loved material science engineering because I thought that polymers were cool. These are carbon chains that are connecting that normally were disparate, now connected to create new things. I love music because I love the idea that people could come together because of a shared love of a lyric, of an artist, of a beat. Like, we can be strangers, and you go, dude, that reminds me of Nostalgia Ultra. And I'm like, dude, I love Frank Ocean. Me too. Oh, my God. Best friends, right? We become connected because of our shared experience with an artist. The same thing with good marketing communications, that we get connected to a brand because it is a receipt of our identity, and we share those identity connections. And for me, as a professor now and as a marketer, like, ultimately, when I'm in the classroom, I'm trying to connect these students to ideas. I mean, that's why I wrote a book, to help scale that connectivity. I may have done it in different ways, but ultimately I've always been about connecting things to create new, more augmented, more optimized outcomes. And the manifestation changed over time, but at its core, it's always been about connecting.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better. Over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
A few years ago, Kanye West, upon hearing the news that Lady Gaga was named creative director at Polaroid, he asked, "What the F does Lady Gaga know about cameras?" The question was rooted in the belief that the relationship between Gaga and Polaroid wasn't authentic. So how do brands avoid this faux pas and successfully associate themselves with culture? Marcus speaks on it.
I mean, Kanye was spot on because in our minds, Kodak is just pictures and cameras and film. Kodak doesn't exist. They don't have any conviction, any ideology that governs Kodak, in our minds at least. So you take Lady Gaga, who's creative, who's artistic, and then you have a camera brand, you go, those things don't align. Where brands have opportunities to be a part of culture is where there's ideological congruence. What the brand believes is also shared with what this cultural outcome believes, or whether it's people, whether this artist sees the world the same way the brand does, those two things come together. Where this culture, this collective of people, they share the same ideology as the brand activates them accordingly. A great example of it is this, McDonald's, right? Here's a brand who was hated on for a long time, right? Lots of hate around McDonald's. And when we met McDonald's, we said, well, why don't you guys stop focusing on people who hate you, focus on the people who love you. Well, who are those people? They're fans. They're like fans of McDonald's. 96 million people show up at McDonald's store every single day. Focus on those people. But they didn't know who they were. So we did a research undertaking when we went to go learn about these fans. We found that there were fan truths within each one of them, within the collective of them. And one of the biggest fan truths is that no matter how big you are, everyone has an order. Oh, that's cool. So now the brand activates people based on their order. So what did McDonald's do? They partnered with Travis Scott. Well, we partnered with Travis Scott on behalf of McDonald's to take Travis Scott's order, the Cactus Jack, and make it available to everyone, right? McDonald's are able to contribute to culture because of what it believes, what it stands for, and the truth around its fans. And it gave McDonald's an authentic way to contribute to culture without it feeling like super sleazy.
Yeah.
And once the brand's beliefs and the network beliefs overlap, the possibilities are endless so long as it meet within that congruence.
And so many Black technologists, engineers have a thing, a wonderful product. And I was talking to Drew Henson, who's an engineer who's developing cannabis hardware now. And we were talking about the importance of storytelling. And it's one thing to be an engineer and to have a great idea, great concept, but your ability to storytell could probably dictate your success better than having the product that works. So can you talk about that? Can you talk about the importance of storytelling and how engineers, people who have, you know, spend hours a day coding, how they can get better at storytelling to better enable their success?
Yeah, storytelling is the currency of community. Storytelling is how culture moves forward and also how it propagates. You know, we tell, you know, to tell the next generation to the next generation to the next generation, right? So stories are probably the most powerful vehicle for information exchange, for cultural expectations to be established, and for expectations to be socialized through the stories that we tell. So whether you are a marketer, whether you are a coder, whether you are the person pushing the broom as a janitor, like, the stories align us to what we're about, what we stand for, what we believe in, and how we preach the gospel to people to bring them in. I mean, that's ultimately what this boils down to, right? You think about culture being this meaning-making vessel, the system that governs what people like me do. And stories become the way by which we communicate what people like me do through the folklore, through, you know, oh, this happened to me then, or you know what happened to so-and-so, gossip works really well this way. And as we communicate these things, we know what people like us ought to do. There's this great story about John F. Kennedy on the stage of action. You know, he says, you know, we have decided as a country to go to the moon. Like, that's what we decide to do. And he visited a NASA station once, and he saw a janitor pushing a broom. And he says to the janitor, he goes, "Hi, how's it going?" He goes, "Mr. President, how are you?" And he says to the janitor, "Well, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm putting a man on the moon, sir." Whoa. He's not pushing a button. He's sweeping the floors. But even his sweeping the floors, that small little thing, is contributing to the broader imperative of the community. The same thing goes with the stories that we tell. When people tell stories, I know what my job is. I know what I'm supposed to do within the organization. And when we tell stories to the community goes, I know that brand is for me, or that output, that product is for me. Storytelling gets us on the same page. And they become the way by which we socialize the gospel to bring more people to the table. So if you are a coder, the better you can articulate why you're coding, the conviction, the ideology that governs why you do what you do, the chances of you getting more people on board is far more powerful than not.
Yeah, you make me think about this guy, Paul Judge, is a big tech guy out of Atlanta who's talked about, you know, when you're trying to recruit smart engineers, well, smart engineers don't want to work on itty bitty problems. They want to work on meaningful problems. And so if you find a way to communicate a North Star, and this is it's pointing to a question, is how to define your North Star. How do you figure what is both the importance of getting a strong North Star for a CEO or a would-be CEO and founder, and how to define it in a way that can get people excited? You know, so maybe my idea is not going to change the world, but it's worthy of investment. It's worthy of people to get behind it. So if it's not going to change the world, maybe it's, I don't want to throw an industry or a thing under the bus. So let's just say something that's not going to be revolutionary, but it's functional.
Yeah.
You know, it's a utility. It helps people's lives be better. How can I define my North Star in a way that gets people excited, generally speaking?
Yeah. So it would start with, what do you believe? It's a belief. Like, the North Star is an ideology that you have. And you communicate that ideology to people who see the world the way that you do. And those people go, oh, I'm not looking for a job. I'm looking for a home. Mm-hmm. Looking to be on people who are like myself, people who are within the same community that I'm in. And if you look at some of the biggest case studies of this, it becomes very, very clear. And think about it from a tech perspective. GE did a campaign back in 2015. It was an HR campaign. This is about like getting more people to come work for GE. It's called What's the Matter with Owen? And the ads were like this. Owen tells his parents, I'm working for GE. And his parents go, oh, so you're going to build railroads? Like, no. Like, I'm going to build systems. And they're like, I don't understand. And GE as a brand believes that the future is made, that we make the future. We build the future, right? That's what GE believes, that's what we're here to do, to build the future. And people who work at GE aren't there for a job. They're there to build the future. And for Owen, his parents don't get him. His friends don't get him. But at GE, we get him. And those are stories that GE told. In the first 18 months of that campaign running, they had an 800% increase in job applications.
Wow.
Now, those ads didn't say anything about 401k, yeah. Nothing about compensation, nothing about location. It was all about conviction, about belief. And people were like, yo, that's the kind of company I want to work for. People who no one else understands me, but they do. Because like them, I want to build the future. And from a biological perspective, we are driven by that. The part of the brain that's responsible for behavior is also associated with our feelings, the limbic system, right? So our feelings are associated with our behavior. So if you can activate the limbic system, the emotional part of the brain, it increases the chances of people adopting behavior. So how do we do that? As a leader, as a marketer, as an entrepreneur, as a manager, as an activist, as a politician, you start with the soul and end with the cell, as C.C. Chapman would say. You start with the soul and end with the cell. What do you believe? What do you believe? We believe that we should reduce our impact on the environment. Great. So we climb clean. That's Patagonia. What do you believe? We believe that there's too much plastic waste in the world. So let's murder plastic, liquid death. Right? They still happen to sell water and tea and energy drinks, but they're driven by a conviction, right? A way of seeing the world. And they preach the gospel, the soul, then they end with the cell.
Dude, that. I want to present you something that I find challenging and fun to think about. And it's this concept of for us, by us, which I get, I understand. But I also feel like we limit ourselves, especially when we think about the conversation we started with, you know, Black culture leading all global culture. So do we unintentionally probably limit our ability to scale and affect change in the world when we adhere to the concept of for us, for us part, by us? I get by us, but why not by us for the world?
Yeah. Well, I would say that it's the specificity for us that makes it palatable to the world, right? I believe that it's through specificity that we find generality. That's why we can watch a movie and that had nothing to do with us, nothing to do with my own experience, but I could see myself in the character because of how specific it is. Through the specificity, we get generality. Like, no one wears an NFL hat. I love all the football teams. No, you wear your team, right? You wear your team because it's specific to you. And as you see people engage in their fandom, you take that and you mirror it to your fandom. So when we make stuff for us in a way that is so nuanced, and it hugs all the subtleties of us, it feels tighter. And people observe that, they go, that seems so cool. Like, I wanna know more about that. I mean, that's like the birth of all things that come out of the Black experience, right? And the Black experience is so rich. I mean, like, if you look at American culture, the first music that came out of this country that wasn't brought over from Europe was minstrel shows that were essentially mockeries of Black music, right? So the idea is that when we do things that are meant for a specific group of people, a specific community of people, it is the most demonstrative representation of the cultural characteristics that govern those people. And the creative output that comes from that is much richer than me making something for everybody.
There is... I talk to him all the time. People who do things like I do, they create podcasts, create content for YouTube. You know, they are would-be influencers trying to build their influence and trying to build their reach. And for this community of creators, what are some of the most important things you think are that you think should be front of mind when they're creating content, both to affect change in the world and, you know, help them meet scratch the itch that they have to put content into the world and to broaden the audience that they are able to deliver that to?
I think it's exactly what we're talking about right now, is that don't make content for everyone. Make content for your community. And it's interesting. So if you think about the Gaussian curve, what we know as the bell curve or the normal curve, in tech, we talk about this as the diffusion curve, right? Everett Rogers diffusion curve, that technology, ideas, behaviors, language, culture propagates in a community through that bell curve that you know of, right? The normal curve. And in the middle, that's where the majority of the population is. And marketers love that middle because that's where everybody is. The biggest market opportunity is right there. So let me talk to them, right? We even have the sales funnel to try to reach as many of them as possible. But it's noisy there, it's super busy, and it costs a lot to meet people there. That's why Super Bowl is so expensive. But on the far left side of that diffusion curve is subcultures that no one's talking to, nobody. They're just completely being ignored. You can talk to them. The interesting part is that everything that is now cool started with them. 20 years ago, if you were into comic books, you were a loser. Now, the movies that we watch across the globe all come from comic books. 20 years ago, if you were into gaming, you were a failure to launch living in your mama's basement. Now, gaming is a multi-billion dollar company, industry. If you were into anime 20 years ago, loser. Now, cool. Everything that is now cool was once subcultural. So what I tell content creators is don't talk to the middle. Talk to the subculture that sees the world most like you, because those people will go preach the gospel on your behalf. I mean, there are more people who watch Game of Thrones than people who are into sci-fi and fantasy. Why is that? Right? People who are way into sci-fi and fantasy who have been following George R.R. Martin for years were first to watch Game of Thrones. And then those people were like, yo, Will, you're playing yourself not watching this. It's the best thing on television. And you're like, all my friends say it's the best thing on television. I guess I'll go give it a shot. And then they convert you. And then you go convert someone. Everything that is now big started small. So as content creators who have limited budgets, limited resources, limited capacity, find your community, find your tribe, activate them, and they'll go preach the gospel on your behalf.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future. Building off the hard work our parents have done before us, we all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details. AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
There are so many startups and companies by Black founders who don't have the budget to hire Marcus Collins or Wieden Kennedy or, you know, anybody in your category. But what are some of the things you could leave this audience with that are keys, insights, resources even, that we should be thinking about when we're starting companies to be able to get at least a small impact that a Wieden Kennedy or a Marcus Collins would be able to provide to us? If we had the budget.
Well, this is exactly why I wrote the book For the Culture, the power behind what we buy, what we do, and who we want to be, to scale this knowledge, right? I was fortunate enough to stumble into this world of marketing communications and realizing that culture is the most powerful, influential force on human behavior. And the more I understood culture and how it's operationalized, the better the work became at influencing people's behavior. I started teaching that in classrooms while also working with brands at places like Wieden Kennedy. But I realized there are people who can't coach at the University of Michigan, people who don't work at Wieden Kennedy, who deserve a chance, especially people who look like us,
yep,
who deserve a chance to help our ideas get out into the world and have the impact, both the commercial and cultural impact that it deserves. So I wrote this book to help people do that very thing. So as far as resources are concerned, that's the first resource.
I love it. May 2nd,
that's the first resource.
There you go.
The second, though, I would say is that you got to do some introspection. Like, who are you as a company, as a brand, as an institution, as an organization, as an entity? What do you believe? Not what do you do, but what do you believe? How do you see the world? And based on how you see the world, who are the people out there who see the world the way you do? Those people are the collective of the willing. That's your congregation. Go preach the gospel to them. Because what happens is that when you start preaching your gospel, your conviction, they'll go, whoa, finally, someone said it. I've been feeling this way forever. I thought I was the only one. And what they'll do is go, yo, Will, come check this out. This guy's been saying exactly what we've been saying. And then you go tell somebody else, and you tell somebody else, and so on, and so on, and so on. Right? So you start with who you are, who are the people who see the world the way you do, and how do you communicate the gospel in such a way that evokes people to move through the stories that we tell? That's exactly what I uncover in the book.
Black Tech Green Money is a production of Blavity Afrotech on the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartMedia. And it's produced by Morgan DeBon and me, Will Lucas, with additional production support by Sarah Ergen and Rose McLucas. Special thank you to Micah Davis and Vanessa Serrano. Learn more about my guests and other tech disruptors and innovators at afrotech.com. Enjoying Black Tech Green Money? Share this with somebody. Go get your money. Peace and love.
The State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast. Festival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.